All right, I got a real quick story for you. And I hope it gives you encouragement. Glad you guys are all here. We got about 20 or so people getting baptized, so that's awesome. And I'll be talking about baptism today because it's a pivotal moment in your life. And for those of you that have been baptized, sometimes we forget about that, the importance of that in our lives and what transpired in that baptism. But before we get to that, this last week I was up in Las Cruces. We've been working on a documentary for the last 2 years, and it was shown at the Las Cruces so we went up there to have it premiered, and along with a whole bunch of other films. We were pretty much the only Jesus film in there that was there, and our showtime was supposed to be Saturday at 5:45. No, Friday, I'm sorry, Friday at 5:45. And so we go early, and we're watching another documentary. They have all kinds of breakups, and there's all these people milling around, and I guess there's, you know, the idea behind these film festivals is to meet bigwigs so you can get your film distributed and connected and yada yada. And I was so amazed they didn't come up to me. But I go, I'm something in this little tiny corner of Westminster. we're the last film on Friday night, and they come over to us and they go, hey man, we're going to have to bump you from the theater you're in to this other theater, and you're going to have to be delayed. So there's people waiting to come see this documentary, and some people have traveled some distance to come see it. They go, you know, because this other film, we want that to have two theaters, and so we're going to bump you. And we go, well, all right, you know, that ain't cool. Luckily, though, through the whole thing, we kept our Jesus, And so that's maybe important for someone here when you're getting let down. And you know what it did? It triggered in me my growing up that I'm the left out one. When it comes to something that everybody's supposed to go, they decide to move me out of the way. And so I'm feeling triggered, and I'm with... The film is about a gentleman. He's the main focus of it, his journey to Jesus and his healing and all that kind of stuff. Film's really a lot about teaching. We teach what happens to the brain in addiction, why people go into addiction, what is going on and all the trauma involved, and then the way out and how you manage a way out of that. And I've mentored him for probably a decade, and it's just great. I believe God brought it, and it's going to happen. But we're in this day, and they tell us they're going to bump us. And then they come back, and they come say, hey, the projector's not working there in this theater. And it's like, oh, Satan. And they go, you know what? We're going to move you guys to Sunday. Sunday, there's no films being showed Sunday. There's nothing Sunday. They vote on the winners of the categories. And they present stuff. So we gotta leave on Saturday. We got life going on. And it's Friday night, and you're telling us it's now it's 6 o'clock, and now we can't have the film, and it's gotta move till Sunday. This is not right. This is not a right thing you're doing here. We want it here. And then, so we're talking to them and being kind, and bottom line is, it ultimately, Tim goes to, he goes to this other theater, and he goes, this is the theater it's being shown in, and nobody's getting in there till we show you it, see it. And you know, the characters I hang around with, he was serious. So he's standing there, and he's standing at that theater, and I'm walking around praying, luckily I passed the popcorn stand 7 times. I didn't even get popcorn. I'm praying, man. I'm saying, God, what is the deal here? You know, I know you're doing something. That much I know, but we are getting our fannies kicked all over the place in this place, and we're the only ones. And so they come back and they go, well, you know what? The boss comes, the main guy of the whole festival, who happens to be a professor at New Mexico State, oversees their film, and he oversees, he's very, that whole world is all connected with each other, and he's connected. And he comes in, he goes, I'm so sorry, we should have never moved you. I fired the girl that did it, and we're gonna get your film shown. And he goes, but it's not working, we can't make it work. And luckily, Brad, the director, had a hard drive just reading in the paper very shortly. He was reading in the paper this document on something to do with film, because that's what, you know, that's his world. And there's one line in it that says, always bring a backup in case anything happens. So we're sitting there and we go, hey, he goes, I got a backup. And, you know, it's over here at the hotel, and, you know, Joe and me will go get it, and we'll be back in 15 minutes. And so we take off, and right off the bat, I get lost. And I'm driving. I don't know this, you know. Put the wrong guy in front of the car. And story of my life is like, oh, my God, I'm going to miss something. I do it now. And so we get there, we get the tar drive, and we come back, and, you know, they have to play with it for, so it's 8 o'clock. Everybody that was going to watch is left. We're down to like 12 of us. And it's like, we don't care if there's nobody. We're watching the film tonight. It's going on the big screen. We're here. We're doing this. And that guy's guarding the door anyway. So bottom line is 7:30-ish, it works. They get it working. So we go in and we see the film, and there's, like I said, about 12 of us. But we did meet the head guy. And so after the film, there's Q&A about the film, and they go, you guys want to do, one of the other leaders there sitting there, he watched the film, he goes, you guys want to do a Q&A? And it's like, well, yeah, we'll do a Q&A. And it was just great. It was beautiful, but the head guy comes walking in, and you know in the theaters you walk up that aisle and then the seats go up and there's that little wall that you can lean on. Well, he's leaning on the wall and he's watching us do this Q&A. He didn't watch the film. And after the Q&A, he goes, you guys, man, something's going on, but I want to help you. I want to help distribute this thing. I want to do this and that. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with that, but the bottom line is, he said, send me all your stuff. I know people. I just got a film on HBO. I just got this thing going on. I'm in this world. This is my world. This is what I do. And he goes, I want to help you guys. And I know he's a believer because he said, you guys are real spiritual, I can tell. And you know, New Mexico's got all kinds of weird stuff going on there. And so you work to meet these kind of people. And then everything that the enemy tried to do, whatever happened, he had us meet that guy. And then that guy comes in after the movie, doesn't even see the film, and says, I want to, whatever you got going here, I'm in. So I share all that to say this for you guys. No matter what you think the enemy's done, no matter what you've lost, no matter where you've messed up, no matter who's messed you up, when it looks like you're done for, you're just beginning. There's something new on the horizon. So I want to encourage you with that. I don't know anything else besides that, but I do know that. And I've seen God move, and it was like, wow, God, mind-blowing. People swarm to meet these kinds of people in that world. That's not my world, but in that world, they, you know, people, knowing people, the right people, gets you places. And it's like, and this guy comes, finds us. We don't know the guy from him. We thought he was another person that worked at the stand or something and was, you know, going to tell us what's not working now. By the way, the Coke machine don't work. I don't, you know, and then he's, oh, I'm the guy. I'm the guy that does all this. Super amazing. So we laughed all night long. Now I say all that to say this to you, man, and ladies. Don't give up. Don't give up. Give in. Don't give in. Stand strong. Believe God. And that's what baptism is about. It correlates well to baptism. We come in one way, and then God does something new. You know, Mark is succinct in the way he describes everything. If you've ever read the Gospel of Mark, it's the shortest gospel, and every time he gets right to the point. He doesn't, beat around the bush. And he says this in Mark 1, verse 9 through 11. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. He didn't need to be baptized by John, but he was sharing what people need to do. They were preparing the way for the Messiah, for the King, for the God who was coming to help them. And when John saw him, Matthew tells us that when John saw Jesus, who was his cousin, they knew each other. All of a sudden, John recognized, says, hey, that's the Lamb of God. He's going to take away the sins of the world. That's the one. And so Jesus goes to get baptized by this man. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." So what we have right off the bat is a public proclamation. Jesus was already the Son of God. He was already belonging to the kingdom of God. He was already on the mission. But Jesus' ministry started at baptism. Baptism, his father says, "This is my son." He makes a proclamation to the world who this person is. So I want to look at a couple things here because those same dynamics take place in our lives in baptism. When you who are here today got baptism, you need to remember how pivotal that was in your life. It's not just something we do. Something changes in us in baptism. And it isn't salvation. Jesus was already saved. People go to get baptized after salvation. It's a step of obedience. That's why Jesus did it. He didn't do it because he needed baptism. He needed to be washed of sins. Washed away, the sins taken away. He did it as a step of obedience because that's what God had John doing. He did it to show us what we need to do. First thing that happened was a dove appeared, or the Holy Spirit appeared as a dove. What does that mean? Why was there a dove there? A dove is an animal that brings peace and salvation. It goes back to Genesis 8:11, when Moses, as the world was being judged and the flood took place and Noah and his family were in the ark, well over 100 days, he sends out a dove. And the dove brings back an olive leaf, indicating there's hope, there's salvation. What the old was is gone, and there's a new thing happening. It says, "This time the dove returned to him in the evening with a fresh olive leaf in its beak. Then Noah knew that the flood waters were almost gone." Something new is being birthed. See, when a baby is in the womb, what is the indication of the new baby? Water breaks. The water breaks. And now that baby that was in the womb is now going to be birthed into a new environment. It's a new creation in a sense. Everything is new. The old is gone. And so this dove comes, the sign of hope and peace. Why? Because the people believed the Messiah was going to be a warrior and was going to establish the kingdom on earth and was going to take over nations. He would come as an eagle, some other animal of war that represents war, but comes in the form of a dove. And the Holy Spirit unites. When we come to Jesus, the Holy Spirit enters us as a dove. He is the one that brings salvation and hope. He is the one that trains us and leads us into all righteousness. Jesus is connected to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then out of this cloud comes a voice. This, Mark 1:11, "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son. This is my family." What you need to know is that when you were baptized, you were announced as belonging to the family of God. You are a beloved, a deeply loved child of God. Whether you're a son or a daughter, you're loved. And it's nothing you've done to earn it. See, in this world, it is always, generally speaking, performance for acceptance. What do I need to perform? Who do I need to meet in a documentary type area? Who is the one that can take this and has the power to distribute it? We're always looking for how do we do this? Where do we get accepted? Many of us have not been accepted because we don't think we perform well enough. But the Father says, you're my beloved, your identity. And then he says this, whom I am well pleased with. I am well pleased with you. You bring me pleasure. You are a joy to me. Yesterday, one of the things Teresa and I talk about in raising these three grandsons is the pleasure we get from them. The joy. Yesterday, I missed the game because I was out there, but my grandson, the middle one, hits a double in the top of the seventh, which in Little League is the last inning, and he drives in the winning run. We end up winning 4-3, and they do a little article on him in, you know, this news thing. It brought me so much pleasure. So much pleasure. And I watched that video clip over and over, and I'm showing Tim and this guy. It's mine. It's my boy. You know, but when we have these kids, they also are trouble. Just like you are to the Father. But know this, the Father takes pleasure in you. You're not a disappointment to God. You're not a disappointment. Even when you mess up. Well, that's the thing I love about my 7-year-old. He thinks I can fix anything. Whenever anything's broken, Papa will know what to do. Papa will fix it. See, but this is the thing. He trusts me. He trusts me. When I was a kid, if I did something wrong, if I broke something, the last person I'm going to is Dad. The last person I'm going to. I'm going to try to fix it myself. I'm going to try to hide it. If need be, I'll blame the younger ones. You know how they are. Clumsy. And, you know, I wouldn't go to my dad. But see, this is the beautiful thing about baptism. When we're washed, we're already in the position of being loved. He washes the sin off us. He washes and takes it off us. And for the rest of our life, when I get dirty, I should run to God so he can help me. He can wash me. I'm already his. I don't have to hide from him. He doesn't have a stick to beat me up for being bad. He loves me. He wants to help me. That's why we can come boldly into the presence of God. The only thing we will ever need, we don't come to God to be saved when we mess up. We already belong to him. We come to him to get cleaned. Help. My grandson, when he breaks something, the littlest one, he brings it to me. Papa, fix it. I know you can fix it. That's the way we are to be with Papa. Jesus went to his Father every time for help. Now, he was sinless, but he suffered in all the temptations, and he went to his Father in those temptations to get help. Now, we go in temptation to get help, but even if we give in and we fall, we can go right back to God. See, that's a whole different mindset. That's why knowing who you are is so important in Christ. Because if not, we will treat God like we've been treated, like what's happened in our lives, the old Joe. I messed up. I better fix it before I present myself to God, before I go to Dad, or I better not let Dad find out. And some of you don't even have dads. You didn't even grow up in a home with that. So your idea of God is he's way distant. Doesn't even care. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to men, especially, who were supposed to see their dad was supposed to pick them up. It was his weekend or his night. He was the one to pick them up. And they would go and they'd wait at the window for Dad. And they'd wait and wait, and he just didn't care and wouldn't show up. And those kids carry that. So they come to know Jesus and they have the same idea. Jesus wants, he's my dad, but he's never available. He's never there when I really need him. Some of you might even have grown up and you had an ad. Where were you, God, when I went through A, B, C, D? Where were you? And so we have an attitude against him. And so I want you to know this. God is the healer. He was always there. He was always there. He's always been for you. And he will heal. He does not take us out of everything, but he will help us through everything. And then he will use that. One of the other things I've learned in walking with the Lord is sometimes God allows his kids, and sometimes his kids don't even know they're his kids yet. They feel like orphans. His kids to go through things so that they can, one, be healed, and they also know about it, the pain and everything else about it. So what? So why? So that they can go into places where there are others like them. And be God's hands and feet to help them. As we are healed, we become wounded healers. And that's why God uses us in our generation. You're all here in this generation for many reasons. So baptism tells us who we are. It tells us where we fit, and it gives us the place to belong. And baptism is the outward proclamation. Jesus knew who he was. When you got saved, you belonged to the family, but now it's announced to the world, both by God and by us. And I believe there's a power that comes through the Holy Spirit in baptism that you can't get any other way. And one of the reasons is God blesses us in obedience. And when we are obedient, there is always something attached to that. There's a power that's attached to that. And sometimes, how many know that sometimes God asks you to be obedient when you don't want to be obedient? When obedience sounds like the last thing you want to do. Hey, for you guys that are getting baptized and you need to change, you might want to go now. Because we got a couple minutes. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5:17 it tells us this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. A new person. The old is gone and a new life has begun. But something more happens. It tells us this in 1 Corinthians 12:27. All of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is part of it. All of you who belong to the family of God have a role in the family of God. You belong to the body. Then that's another thing that can mess with us. Because we can see other people sure seem to be bigger parts of the body. I remember I've told the story about a pastor. And this was a big name pastor, and he was a big deal, at least in the earthly realm. And he was talking to God one day, and he said this. He said, hey, you know, am I an eye in the body? Am I an ear? You know, I'm a pretty important guy. Am I the arm? What am I, God? What am I? You know what the Lord told him? You're a hair. You're a hair. But this is the thing. His identity isn't in what he does, is what God was telling him. Your identity isn't in what you do for the kingdom. Your identity is, I love you. I love you. Because if you think you're a big deal, then the opposite is true. If you mess up, you're a nothing deal. If that's the way God grades how much he likes us, then it's no different than the world. If I'm a hair, then be a good hair. Stay down when you're combed. Right? If you're an eye, see well. If you're a vein in the eye. Because we like to think of the big thing, the eye. The eye is made up of a bunch of tiny, tiny things. You're loved because you're important to God. And not only does he love us as part of the body, it says the human body in verse 12 has many parts. But the many parts make up one whole body. You're important. You're important. Whether you're here, there, over there, big, small, that's all us. That's not God. I will never be judged on what talents that person has. I will never be judged on what skills that person has. how much money that person has. I will only ever be held accountable. It's not even a salvation issue. It's an accountability issue of what God gave me. And if he's given me this much, that's what I'm accountable for. Do that well. If you're a hare, be a good hare. Right? Don't be curly when everyone else is straight. We can run with that for a while, but we won't. Know this, Ephesians 2:10, and we'll close here. For we are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. You are precious. You are specially made. And he takes great pleasure in you. You were chosen before creation, Ephesians 1:5 tells us. You belong. You belong. He has created us anew in Christ. Oh, yeah, that's what he's done. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God has good things planned for you. You don't even know what they are. So the enemy's always going to try to tell you stuff, your old life. Know this, man. Sometimes we need to be washed in our mind. That's why we have to be, Scripture tells us, be washed by the word in our thinking. Because no other part of you gets dirty till this thing gets dirty. When this thing is messing up, that body will follow. This is what needs to change. And that's where the Holy Spirit makes us alive spiritually so we can deal with our insides. And so that baptism today, you who are getting baptized, something will change. I probably should be talking to them over there up there. But for the rest of us, if you haven't been baptized, we will baptize you. You need to do it. You need to take that step. It's important. Whether you're a child of God and have done it, or you just are just coming in, can take that step. Your lives will change. And for you, those who have been baptized, understand the pivotal change that took place in your life. And when your head tells you something different, when voices from the old days tell you something different, even when you speak to yourself something different, take those thoughts captive. No, no, no. I am a child of God, beloved of God. God says I am his son or daughter, and that I bring him pleasure. He is happy to see me do well. And when I do mess up, I run to him so he can wash me. He washes me because he washes me gently. He washes me lovingly. He is for me and not against me. He loves me. I am precious in his sight. I am poema, his masterpiece. I need to think thoughts like God thinks about me. And I need to realize that he has those thoughts of his other kids too. So be careful when you talk bad about God's other kids. You're messing with his masterpieces. And we do not get the right to deform them. We only get the right to build them up and to help them. Amen? Yeah. All right, we're going to get changed. We're going to have some music and we're going.
Good morning, church. Can everyone stand with us this morning? We're celebrating people getting baptized, giving their lives to the Lord. We should be excited about that, right, church? Jumping. We're just excited to be in the presence of God this morning. So y'all know this song. Sing it out with us. Here we go.
Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul.
celebration. A public proclamation of what God has done internally. This is Pastor Mike. Jennifer and Delphia, why don't you share a second?
Tell us a little bit of your story.
So I've been coming to his place for about 2.5 years, and lots happened, and I'm so happy that I came to his place because it brought me a lot closer to God, and I'm here today to show the world that I belong to Jesus, and I'm just going to spend the rest of my life learning how to walk with him.
I just wanted a fresh start and to form a deeper connection with Jesus.
Okay. So because of their profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
I need a rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I need a shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me.
Know Christina, but this is Chris Smith. Tell us a little bit.
My husband and I were baptized about 5 years ago at the beach baptism, and at that time, I can't do this without crying. I was grieving, walking, felt like I was walking away from my Catholic faith, which wasn't true. But that was where my identity was. And I was, as I've been learning and as I keep coming here and I keep coming back and I keep digging deeper into God's word, my identity, it's just taking root that my identity is in Christ.
Amen.
And not in, not Catholicism. And it doesn't mean that that was bad. It's done a lot of good. But my identity is rooted in Christ, and I stand firm in that. And so I encourage anyone who you want to rededicate your life, and it doesn't mean anything I've done leading up to this point hasn't been for good, but Lord, I just dedicate my life to you, and I just want to walk with you and keep teaching me, Lord, what you need me to know, and I glorify you today.
We now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I've been wanting to do this for a while, and I'm glad I'm here today, and I just thank God for seeing me and having me here today, and I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for blessing me and seeing me and giving me this time, this chance right here to be renewed and to be baptized and be closer to him and accept his spirit and just go with Christ. Thank you.
All right. Jimmy, because of your profession of faith, we just pray right now. Let's pray over him before we baptize. Lord, we just thank you for this man. Father, we thank you. We thank you are the restorer of all things that have been lost. We thank you, God, that you love this man before creation. You've called him to be yours. So God, we pray new things in his life, and you would give him great courage as he enters into what he would consider the unknown, but you know is well known. So God, direct him and guide him. And because of his profession of faith, we now baptize him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hell has another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell has another one.
Pastor Michael, he's going to share a moment.
Hey, church. It's my honor this morning to baptize the daughter of a really dear friend and sister of mine, Beverly. And she was 93 when I baptized her, and she's home with the Lord now. And this is her daughter. She drove from Arizona.
So my name is Lori, and I've been wanting to be baptized for about a year, and I could never make it happen. But I decided this is the time, and I wanted to be baptized here with Pastor Michael and in this church, and I want to proclaim my faith in Jesus Christ and my commitment to Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord. And I want to be on Team God, so I'm here to do that today.
Amen.
So in light of that profession, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
This is Yam. I had the privilege to lead her to the Lord about a month ago, and here she is.
It was my birthday.
It was her birthday.
My name is Yam, and I am a new believer, and I have been going through a lot, and I Googled for a church, and God, Jesus Christ, brought me here. Yeah. And like what Pastor Joe said, I accepted Jesus Christ last month, right? That was my birthday. And from then on, I surrendered everything to him and let him be in control of my life, of everything. Amen. Thank you.
So because of your profession of faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit.
Oh, yes, you picked me up. Turn me around. Place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. Because you fill my heart. Change my name. Never free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior.
This lady is very, very brave. She does not know how to swim. And she does not like water, obviously. But she's going to take this step of faith. And tell us a little bit.
My name is Virginia, and I've been coming here for about 7 weeks now. I waited that long to even think about baptism because every church that I've been in, I've not been totally satisfied. This is the complete package for me. I love it here. And I need to make my strength with Jesus be even stronger and to have his obedience to help me to do this. So thank you.
Amen. Okay. Here, grab her. Yeah, take her glasses. We'll set them right there. Huge. Well, go ahead and hold your nose. Yeah, we got you. We got you. Okay, so because of your profession of faith, we now baptize you in the name. Go ahead and let your knees down.
Jesus brought me here, you know. I'm just blessed to have friends and family around me that are good enough influences to show me the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right, so because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we now take this step of obedience, brother. I just pray God will do mighty things in you so we can do mighty things through you.
Amen.
You are precious to him. So we now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Mateo Martens. He's the last kid of mine to be baptized.
Yeah.
He's doing it because he loves Jesus.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize.
Thank you, Lord.
My name is Carlotta. I have sinned a lot in my life, so I'm here to finally give it up to God.
Amen. So because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we now take this step of obedience. God's going to do some amazing things. You're going to know a power you've never known. So Lord, we now baptize our sister in the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
I need a rescue. My sin is heavy. My chains break at the weight of your glory. I need a shelter. I was an orphan, but you call me a citizen of heaven.
Hi, this is Stephen Coriel. He's going to be baptized today. He's going to share after he gets baptized. So because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name's Stephen Coriel, and I'm a new man.
Yeah.
Oh, get up, get up, get up.
Amen.
Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
to say. We're just so thankful for the work that the Lord has done in our lives in the last few years. And just the things that he's accomplished and our faith in him and what he's shown back is just beautiful. So we just want to dedicate our lives to him.
Amen.
Amen.
I just want to say thank you for his place becoming my place and our place, because if it wasn't for this place, I don't know where I'd be. I lived a life of sin, and until recently, it's been horrible. And I want to thank this lady right here next to me, because without her, nothing would have been possible. And without God and this place here, there would be no future for me. I appreciate all of you, and I love all of you.
So because of your profession of faith, we now baptize you guys in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Double blessing, actually quadruple. We got their four children that wanted to be baptized, who've also been impacted by God. You guys want to tell us your names?
I'm Dylan Ferguson.
Riley.
Milo.
Hadley.
And they've all professed a faith in Jesus. And so we are super excited for this whole family. God's got a plan for this whole family. Yeah. So now, because of you guys' profession of faith, we're going to baptize you. Come on over here, honey. In the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit. And for these guys, yeah, yeah, there you go.
My name is Francisco Montano. I gave my life to Christ 3 months ago, and I'm here to serve the Lord.
Amen. We're so glad you're here, brother. So because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are publicly pronounced as his beloved son. Yeah, you belong to the family. God has a purpose for you as we move forward. So what? We just want to baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
You picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I think the master, I think the savior, because you feel my heart, change my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I think the master, I think the savior, I thank God.
My name is Joseph. A real quick prayer. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me and forgive me of my sins.
Amen. All right. So because of your profession of faith, he has.
Yes.
He has.
He does.
You belong to the family of God. Amen. So because of that profession, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
My name's Kimberly. This is my nephew, Rocco. I have been baptized before, but I feel like I'm entering a new chapter in my life, and this is the first church that I've been to where I can actually understand the words that are coming out of the pastor's mouth. And my sister brought us here. My nephew here, he decided on his own that he wanted to be baptized today, so...
Right on, Rocco. Give me some nothing, buddy.
Perfect timing.
Amen.
Perfect timing. So, Rocco, you believe in Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah, okay. So because of their profession of faith, we now baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah!
Hail not another one. I am free.
Well, we got Mom here getting baptized, and the little guy's going to watch her. And go ahead, Mom. Tell us a little bit.
My name is Joanna. This is my son, Michael. And we're going to grow our faith in God.
Okay. So she's got her hands full. She'll need a lot of... We'll pray for patience right now for you, Lord. Give Mom patience. Give her wisdom. Give her an ability, God, to see into the heart of her children.
Yes, Lord.
That she may direct them in the way they should go as they mature. So, Lord God, we pray you meet all her needs. You bless her with strength beyond human capability. And, Lord, I pray your presence will always... She will always know your presence is close to her. So because of your profession of faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Refreshments and lunch to celebrate what took place and to fellowship with one another as God's kids. So you're more than welcome to hang out and be and enjoy the meal we have for you.
Yeah, let's sing.
Oh, sing, I need.
share.